Couldn't find my mic, and then I couldn't see with it. Weird. This microphone. I feel like when I don't have it, I'm shouting at you all the time, and I don't want to shout at you all the time. So I'm not a big fan of this kind of thing, but the mics and all that stuff. But take your Bible and open it up to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, Marcia read for us verses 19 through 22. We're going to look at this verse, not just today, but maybe in a couple weeks also, as we look at what Jesus told them what they were going to do and to go out. One of the things that we are looking at is, last week I talked about when Jesus, you know, in the movie The Passion, when Jesus was carrying his cross, Mary, his mother, came up to him as he fell one of the three times as he was carrying his cross. And he said, Mel Gibson in the movie put a phrase that's not actually in the scriptures, but I think it's a perfect fit, when he says, "Behold, I make all things new." So he is going to the cross. He's going to give his life on the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be buried. He's going to be raised again. And in that passion week, in those short days, he is making literally all things new. And so we've been kind of looking at for the last week and this week, and probably in a couple weeks, we've been looking at these appearances that Jesus makes after he is alive again. And so as we come to this place, we want to know that he steps into the room. And I don't know, maybe this isn't something you've thought about, but it just thought about. The first words of something new is very important, right? So in other words, when Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new," and then he goes through what he does to make all things new, his first words in that time, I think, is very important. Okay? So after he's raised, he comes into the room. The disciples are there. They locked in. They're worried. They're fearful. Half of them, if not all of them, are figuring that they're next. You know, they've taken Jesus and they've crucified him. They're going to come looking for them. So they're in this upper room and they've locked the door and they don't want to come out. They don't want to answer the door. They don't, you know, they've kind of heard a little bit about the women say he's alive, but they're not real sure. You know, some of the gospel writers say they doubted. Some of the gospel writers, in fact, I think it's Mark. Is it Mark? Who did I write that down? Anyway, it's one of the gospel writers. I think it's Luke. It's Luke. He said that when the women came and told them that Jesus was alive, they thought that they were telling just a silly tale. What? Can't be. We saw him die. We saw him put in the tomb. He can't be alive. After you go through the Roman crucifixion, that just isn't possible. He was dead. You're telling us a fable. You're telling us a silly story. It just can't be. And in the process of while that was all going on, guess what happened? I love, you know, I think sometimes when we're reading the scriptures, we want to hear what God's saying, and we forget the sense of humor that God has. I mean, they're in there going, "Oh, we don't know. We're doubting. We don't know if Jesus is alive." Hello. There he is. I think he's alive, Thomas. James. Peter. See? I think he's alive. There he is. He's in the room with us. I love that. But the first words, the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." And doesn't that typify the new thing that Jesus is doing in our lives? Peace be with you. Now, I want to look at that, and I want to realize that kind of may have a couple meanings, that peace with us means that Jesus is bringing to us peace. The whole concept of the new covenant is peace, and the whole concept of this new thing that he's doing is about peace. Peace with God, peace with others, peace with ourselves. And so the first words that he says when he walks into this room is, "Peace be still, peace be with you." He said, "Peace be still," when he calmed the storm. But peace be with you. And so as he's standing there and saying, "Peace be with you," yes, he does mean that in the midst of their worry, in the midst of their fears, in the midst of their concerns, in the midst of all the stuff that they've been going through, and questions and doubts and wonderings and what's next, and you know, we've talked about this a lot of times. They really wanted the Messiah to be the king that rose up, took an army, and overcame Rome. And Jesus died on the cross. So much for their plan. But it was a bigger plan that they didn't see that God had. Because what Jesus came to do is Jesus came to conquer, overcome, and deal with all of those things that would steal our peace. Okay? That's one side of the coin. Let's look at that for just a minute. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but they needed to hear in the situation they were in that peace was with them. Amen? How many of you sometimes go through some difficult times and you need to know that peace is with you, that there is peace available, that there is peace, that God wants you to know His peace, and that has been offered to us in the new covenant. Amen? So we can have peace with God. So Jesus came and He dealt with all the things that would try to steal our peace. Let's just look at a few of those. And it's interesting, and I love this. You know me, I'm kind of a nerd. I like to look up the Greek. The word peace here literally means to set as one. Now, if we take that in the full extent of that word, it means to restructure and to reset everything so that that peace, that oneness that comes with God can be had. All right? So peace means to set as one, to kind of restore some things in our lives. So here they are. They're fearful. They're afraid they're going to die next. They don't know what's going to happen. Here's this Jesus who they walked with, who they knew forgave people, who healed people. He did these wonderful things. What's next? We don't know what the next thing is. He comes into the room and says, "Peace be with you." It restores some understanding and some presence and some things that He wanted to do in their lives. Amen? That's what that literally means, to bring you back to that place where, can I say it this way? Bring you back to that place where those things that cause you to worry and fear and give you doubts and concerns can no longer defeat you. So the peace of Christ that He brings to us is that making things right. All right, let's look at a couple of those. We could be here for several sermon series. Romans chapter 5 says that Christ now has given us peace with God. We have forgiveness. Amen? Jesus, when He shed His blood, He's hanging on the cross, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He not only shed His blood, but He offers forgiveness to those who would come to Him. Amen? So we have peace now with God through Jesus Christ because of what He did on the cross. We have forgiveness. Amen? He defeated death by His death. Let me show you. I'm going to look up a couple of these. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood," that's us, the children of God, the creation of God, "since we share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same, so that," in other words, Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us for a purpose. That part of that purpose is right here. "That through death, He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and He might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives by that fear of death." Okay? "For assuredly He did not give help to angels, but He gives help to the descendants of Abraham, those who faith. Therefore He had to be made like His brethren in all things, so that He might become a merciful high priest in those things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since He Himself was tempted in that which He suffered, He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Oh yeah, by the way, that's another one. Not only did he defeat death by death, he defeated the enemy, but he also is able to help us when we're tempted. That gives us peace, amen? That gives us peace. Okay, now stick with me. Stick with me. He defeated the enemy. He's with us when we're tempted. We have forgiveness. He's defeated death, the thing that holds us captive. He also now has eternal life to give us. So we have forgiveness, we have freedom from fear of death, we have eternal life, we have one who is with us when we are tempted. He gives us literally his peace. He puts our lives back together, makes us with one. How many of you like to have life as one again? Anybody have things kind of confused? Things kind of harebrained? Anybody been harebrained this last few weeks? Not just by the wind? He redeems our life. Amen? He gives us peace. Peace be with you. I love that. Peace be with you. See, a lot of churches will do this. They don't do it quite like this. I'm going to do it a little different, and then we're going to change it to the way a lot of churches do it toward the end of this. Okay? I'm going to say, peace be with you. And you say, and also with you. Okay? Peace be with you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for reminding me. Peace be with you and also with me. That's cool. But there's something else that's going on here. There's something else that's going on. Let's turn back to John chapter 14. Just kind of walk you through a couple things here. John chapter 14. Because I think when Jesus stepped into this room and he said, peace be with you, he's not just talking about the things that he did that bring us peace. He's talking about something else. And that's what I want to get into. That's what I think is important here today. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. John 14, 25. These things I have spoken while abiding with you. But the Helper, verse 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. I love this. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be fearful. Now, understand, he's talking about this in the context of what he's just told them, which is basically he's going to die. They're going to be buried, but he says on the third day arise again. But remember, we talked about how they didn't always get that. So he said, peace I leave you, not the peace like the world gives. How many of you know what kind of peace the world gives? Very fragile, very inconsistent. How many of you, well, I don't even want to bring that up because I don't want to start angst in your life. We all know the kind of peace that's like we're getting along and everything's great, and then all of a sudden something is said and now we no longer have peace. Anybody ever had any relationships like that? Oh, everything's great, and then they say that thing, and you go, well, there goes that thing. There goes my peace. You didn't need to say that. Either that or somebody. I love it when you're talking to somebody and you're trying to be positive. Yeah, I know it's kind of a tough time, but, you know, I think the Lord's going to work this out, you know, and I think everything's going to be fine. And then they drop the bomb. But what if it isn't? What are you going to do then? And our peace goes away. Jesus says, I'm going to give you peace, not like the world gives that comes and goes. Not like the world gives, that's very fragile. Not like the world gives, which is there 1 minute and gone the next. He said, I'm giving you, and that's important for them to know before they're about to walk through what they're going to walk through. Now, I'm going to stop here just a second, and I want you to understand something. John does not write his book chronologically until we get to about chapter 12 and 13. And chapter 12 and 13 all happen generally, but within the day of his crucifixion. Like, take for instance, you know, he talks to them, and when they sing, then they go out to, a lot of times while they're walking and talking, he's telling them stuff that John's writing down here. So he's telling you, telling them, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this, and this is what's going to happen. That's like 2 days, if not the day before he goes through all of this. So he says, you're about to go through this, and I want you to know, I want to give you my peace, not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you. What's the peace of Christ? What does he do? And then he gets into this discussion, which I think is very interesting. He says, you've heard it said, I go away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I'm going to the Father. Now I've told you that before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe. He talks about he's going to, basically, what I think, what Jesus is going through is he's going to basically bring the ruler of the world out to expose himself so he can be defeated. Okay, now that's another sermon in itself. I don't want to get into that. But one of the things that Jesus going to the cross and being obedient to God is it causes Satan to play his hand. His weapon, which is death. And so Satan thinks he's conquered, but Jesus overcomes that. He overcomes death by his death and resurrection. He gets Satan to play his card. He exposes that. So he's talking about the ruler of the world being cast out. But Jesus is talking about, I'm not going to be with you for a while. I want you to have my peace, but I want you to understand, I'm not going to be with you for a while. Okay? Now, there's something that I want you to get that, but let's take this a little farther. Let's go just a little farther. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I know, don't worry, we're good. We're good on time. We're good on time. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see something here, and I'm going to emphasize what I read so that I can help you see what I'm trying to see, what I want you to see. Okay? Philippians chapter 4. Let's begin at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Okay. Let your gentle spirit or your gentleness be known to all people. Why? Why should we let our gentleness be known? Because the Lord is near. Now, we're not talking there, and I want you to hear this, we're not talking there about the second coming is about to happen. We're talking about the Lord's presence is near. He's with you. He's close by you. So let your gentleness be known to all because the Lord is near. All right? Be anxious for nothing. How are you doing with that verse, by the way? But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Verse 7, and what? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding or all comprehension, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. How many of you want the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? Amen. We all say amen to that. So how is that? Well, first of all, he says, finally, brethren, there are some things to think about and some things not to think about. Y'all realize we lose our peace sometimes when we think about certain things or we don't think about certain things. You understand what I'm saying? So he says, whatever's right, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's praiseworthy, think on those things. Look at verse 9. For the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and who will be with you? The God of peace will be with you. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2 says he is our peace. Ephesians 2:14 says he is our peace. So here's the point. Peace is not something we have to conjure up. Peace is not something when we're going through a difficult time, we sit there and we go, oh, I've got to have peace. 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 To be peaceful, Jeff, I've got to have peace. Stop thinking about, I'll be peaceful. How's that work for you? How many of you ever done that? How does peace, is does peace come and stay, or does it come and go sometimes when you do that? Let's be honest. In my life, sometimes peace helps me out. Sometimes peace is hard to come by when I'm trying to conjure it up with my own effort, right? But I don't know if you noticed it in these last few passages I've read. It seems like the peace of God is determined by the presence of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So it's not something we conjure up. It's not an attitude that we have to change. It's a reality that we have to live in. When Jesus walked into the room and he said, "Peace be with you," he's not just talking about what he did to bring us peace, which then it moves to us to be able to think about those things and conjure up this feeling that everything's going to be okay, and I'm scenarioing out. Sometimes things aren't going to be, where's my peace? You know where your peace is? Jesus. He is your peace. It's not, get this, this is my point. It's not some feeling or attitude we conjure up to be peaceful. That's the peace of the world. The peace that Jesus gives us is himself. It's himself. So if we don't feel like we're at peace, we have to remind ourselves and remember that he is with us and he is our peace. Amen? Jesus is our peace. So when he shows up into the room with the disciples, they're doubting, they're concerned, they're frustrated, they don't know what comes next, they're confused, they've doubted. It's just things are crazy. And Jesus says, "Peace is here. And I'm with you. Peace be with you." So, remember I told you earlier about peace be with you, and you said also with you? This is the way I want to say it now. May the Lord be with you. Lord be with you and also with me. Why? Because when he's in the room, peace is there. Amen? You know what's interesting? I'm sure I've left out a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, but here's what's interesting. I'm going to give you an experiment. I want you to read the letters in, you know, just the intros and the ending. Sometimes this isn't the case, but a lot of the letters that Paul writes, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Peter's got a few, John's got a few, but most of the way they start out those letters is with this phrase or some variant: "Grace to you and peace to our peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think he started? It wasn't just a way to say, "Hey, sup." What they were going through, that is the purpose for the letter, they need to at first and at the last hear grace and peace to you from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you for what you're going through. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. Again and again and again. Do you think that maybe grace and peace are somehow tied together? Do you think maybe when we live and understand grace, we have peace? Do you think maybe when we live and understand that Jesus is with us, we have peace, which helps us fully understand grace? Do you think sometimes we need to be reminded of grace and peace be with you? "Behold, I make all things new," Jesus said. So, What's new? Grace and peace. Amen? Amen. So, as I share with you, grace and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, Pastor Jeff, I don't know if I can conjure that up. You don't have to. Just live in the reality that Jesus is with you. Figure out a way to do that. I tell you a lot of times when I start on a trip or I start taking the bus or start around, I always begin by saying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. You know, and I think I'm going to start when the kids get on the bus. I think I'm going to start saying, grace and peace to you. And I want them to say, and also with you. They may not. I think, what would happen? I don't know. Maybe I've got a weird imagination. Tom, come here. I'm going to do it, Tom. All right? Tom and I, imagine this happens. What do you think the world, stop, Tom. What do you think the world would do if they see us do this kind of thing? Tom and I are in Walmart. We're walking down the aisle. I look up and I see Tom, and I don't say, hey, what's up? I don't say, what's happening? I walk up to Tom and I say, grace and peace to you, brother.
And also with you.
Oh, amen. Now, that's weird. In our world today, that's weird. So, may the Lord be with you. For there is our peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Father, give us the remembrance when we see each other at Walmart or United to say, grace and peace be with you. Oh, Lord, I know we'll forget. I know we'll struggle with being too embarrassed. But I pray for this, that whatever anybody is going through, and I've heard stories, and I know it's a difficult time, and it's easy to doubt the presence of the Lord in our lives. Father, I pray your presence in the lives of those who are listening to this message and this teaching, that they may know your presence, and that they may know your peace, and they may know that you are there for them. And however long it takes to work that out, may they, may I, may we know your peace and your grace that you have given us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. I love